Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father. And I will love them and reveal myself to them." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The setting was very similar to a movie trope, the trope where the whole family has returned home for a holiday, and while they're gathered around a dinner table, one of the couples announced that they are getting a divorce. The joy of this holiday is now lost, and everyone gathered has a heaviness in their heart. Some people speak up, and others just sit there quietly. Our gospel lesson today places us in the middle of a dinner setting that's very similar to that. The disciples have gathered with Jesus in an upper room to celebrate their Passover holiday meal. Yet this meal is decidedly different than the ones that they've had in years past. Jesus says that one of them will betray him. And each of the disciples, they are worried that it might be them, they themselves, who is the one who is going to betray him. And while the disciples are discussing it, Jesus quietly slips a piece of bread to Judas and says, "Do it quickly." So Judas gets up and leaves. And then Jesus begins his discourse, a discourse saying that he is going away and the disciples will no longer see him. You can imagine the anxiety of the disciples sitting there listening to all this, listening to their master, their Lord, say that he is departing, that he is going somewhere else. The whole evening has been an emotional whirlwind for them. The feet washing, the sacramental meal, the betrayal talk, and now abandonment. Peter's chin, it's quivering. Andrew, he's wiping away tears over in the corner, and Thomas is just sitting there completely still because he's emotionally numbed by what he is hearing. The one whom God has sent to them is now leaving them. And perhaps this means that even God is leaving them. Jesus sees the emotion in their eyes, and he feels their pain in their hearts, and so he stops. He stops what he's saying, and he changes course. "I will not leave you orphaned. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you." He is compelled to drive that point home to his disciples. It's an excellent choice of words. Goodbyes and departures of loved ones are never a fun thing to go through, but this is more than that. Humans have a fear that is greater than just saying farewell to a loved one. That is the fear of a child suddenly becoming orphaned. And that is exactly the fear that the disciples were experiencing, the fear of being abandoned by their Lord. My Stella and Virginia, they're now 6 months old. And it used to be that I could step away into the kitchen while they were playing, and I might have to go back to them if they get a little fussy over a dirty diaper. But now we're entering the stage where I have to immediately respond to their crying because they realize that they might have just been abandoned forever. And I have to rush back to them. It's a fear that we have all experienced in different ways in our lives. And based on everything Jesus has said at this meal, It is a justified fear for his disciples to have. I will not leave you orphaned, he says. I am coming to you. He then paints for them a picture of just how present he will be. And the painting is this. The Spirit will abide next to you, and the Spirit will live in you. Jesus is in the Father, and you are in Jesus, and Jesus, guess what, is in you. Try diagramming that sometime. You're going to have lines and arrows and circles all over the place. It's a mess. And yet his point is that you are never going to get away from God. You will not be abandoned. At your baptism, the triune God made promises to be ever present alongside you and in you, and you with and in the triune God. Jesus invokes the language of family to say that we and the disciples are part of God's family now. Families, at their ideal, are not based on transactional relationships, relationships of tit for tat. Rather, families ideally are based on transcendent relationships, relationships that bear the brunt of bad times together, relationships that hold on no matter what, relationships that bear through the hard times. Some of you know that Ginger and I struggled to get pregnant. It was years of difficulty, and certainly the hardest thing I ever dealt with. And of course, I offered prayers during that time. But there was only one message I got during that. Ginger's going to be a great mom. And I took that as assurance that whether our family grew through adoption and or through childbirth, that I could trust that indeed she would be a great mom. I'm still waiting to hear how I'm going to fare, though. Anyway, our last hope in trying to get pregnant didn't work. We were devastated. And yet we weren't upset with God. We actually drew closer to each other and to God. We actually felt an extreme closeness to each other. And God was with us throughout that difficult news. And soon we found peace with it. But God was present with us in a transcendent sort of way. God was weathering the storm with us, climbing the mountain together with us. And to round out the story, of course, 4 months later, surprise, and a month after that, a twin surprise. And indeed, Ginger is an excellent mom, and I strive to be half the parent that she is. The transcendent relationship that you have with the triune God is the point that Jesus is trying to drive home today in our gospel lesson. You will not be abandoned by God. You will not be orphaned. God is right there with you no matter what. The Spirit is with you and in you. And Jesus is in you and you are in Jesus. And with all of this, it's in the Father who was in all of this. With a structure like that, there's no finding your way out of it. Yet it can be hard for us to believe and to accept that this is indeed the relationship that God has with us. It can be hard to believe and accept that God's relationship with us transcends our burdensome episodes of life, transcends our failings and our faults, transcends our blasphemies and our sins. The reason it is so difficult to believe and accept this good news is because we experience so many transactional relationships in our lives. Relationships where you get what you deserve. Relationships that are tit for tat. That you have to know certain people in order to get your foot in the door. That you will get something out of a relationship only if you invest into it. That the help that you receive must first be help that is earned. In so many ways, we encounter transactional relationships in our lives each and every day. So, the question begs to be asked, is Jesus just getting involved in all of this transactional relationship stuff when he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments? How does that mesh? with the grace that we hear elsewhere in this same passage. We have to take a step back to view this. Earlier at this same meal, Jesus said, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And stepping back further in John's gospel, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to be the embodiment of God's love for this world. Now Jesus, who is the embodiment of God's love, he is commanding his followers to embody his love in this world. It's not a harsh commandment. It's just doing the natural thing of love, overflowing to share it with others as well, so that they may experience that love. So when Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," it's better understood through our relationship with the triune God. It's like Jesus saying, "Because you have received my love and you love me in return, you are now going to be the embodiment of that love for this world." But what would that look like? Us embodying God's love. For starters, we will draw close to the promises that God makes to us at the font and at this table. We trust in the transcendent grace that we wash in and that we consume, so that we are sent out from here to be the embodiment of grace in the world. Yet, it's not a passive embodiment that we do. How do we courageously embody God's love for this world? Can we courageously embody God's love in our interactions with new faces and with strangers? Can we do it by dropping the transactional deeds that we are accustomed to doing with our coworkers, our friends, our neighbors, and even family members, and instead randomly surprise them with a transcendent act of love? Not for anything in return, but just because you are the embodiment of God's love. Can we courageously embody God's love and grace by taking the time to actually ponder and name those things that draw us away from God? And then will we actually do something to remedy those things? We are not orphaned. We are not abandoned. For the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are present with us always. So may we courageously embody the love that was first embodied and given for us in Jesus Christ. It is the love that walks beside us. It is the love that is within us. And it is the love that we are within. It is a divine love that truly is closer to us than we are to ourselves. It is the love that always draws us closer to God. It is a love that, no matter the burden, will never abandon us or orphan us. So let us go out into the world courageously embodying this love of God that first was given to us in Jesus Christ. Amen.